How many were here last Sunday? If you weren't, you missed two amazing speakers. You did, I tell you. And if you want to listen to them, you can listen to them online. If you go to our website, all our messages, all our sermons are there. I always write out my messages so you can get both. You can get the written and also you can get the spoken. How good is that? So if ever you miss something, you can always go to our website. And you can go www.lighthouse-church.org.uk. They might sound, oh, that's a bit much. But if you Google Lighthouse Church New Malden, that's easy, isn't it? Just Lighthouse Church New Malden, then you'll get to our website. Aren't we blessed to be here this morning? Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, sitting here thinking, wow, we have such a privilege to gather together in a place like this and celebrate the goodness of God and celebrate the presence of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? With a company of people, like-minded, of like spirit, you know, who want to come together and who just want to love Jesus for who he is. And that is just overwhelming, isn't it? That we can gather together like this and just fellowship and have fun and, you know, enjoy God's presence. God's presence is good. It's not scary. Many people think God's presence is some like, you know, sort of scary place to be. You know, I've got to say 10 prayers and you know, I've got to bow down 5-6 times, you know. I've got to put the sign of the cross and all this sort of thing. It's not scary like that. God's presence is in us. We carry God's presence. You and I are carriers of the presence of God. So we don't have to go anywhere to seek it. We come together as God's family, as God's body. Why? When we come together, God speaks. God does something in a corporate setting. That's why we come together. And that's to meet with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I have a video clip for you that I want to start off with. And my title for this morning is that you are blessed and accepted by God. And you will see this video clip grew. How many know grew? Yeah. Don't look at me. Grew. Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Hi? Grew. So if you watch grew here, he's a guy who lives for himself. And he gets these three kids who keep bothering him, annoying him. You know, and somehow he wants to get rid of them, but eventually he comes to love them. And you will see, the reason I'm showing this clip is because you will see that he's willing to give it all for the sake of this kid. So you'll see why I'm showing this. Let's watch this clip.
Oh, come on, you want a story?
Three sleepy kittens!
Oh no, sorry, that book was accidentally destroyed maliciously. Tonight, we are going to read a new book. This one is called One Big Unicorn. By who wrote this? Oh, me! I wrote it. Oh, look, it's a puppet book. Here, watch this. That's the horn.
This is gonna be the best book ever.
Not to pat myself on the back, but yes, it probably will be. Here we go. One big unicorn, strong and free, thought he was happy as he could be. Then three little kittens came around and turned his whole life upside down.
Hey, that one looks like me.
No, what are you talking about? These are kittens. Any relation to persons living or dead is completely coincidental. They made him laugh. Ho-ho! They made him cry. He never should have said goodbye. And now he knows he could never part from those three little kittens that changed his heart. The end. Okay, all right. Good night.
Thank you.
I love you too.
You wish you could see the rest, couldn't you? You are blessed and accepted by God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And as we are turning to that, let's just pray together. Father, I just want to say thank you, God, that even when we see that clip, God, we understand how amazing you are and how much you love us, Father, in spite of ourselves. God, you love us so much. And we want to thank you for that today. And Father, I pray that you'll open the eyes of our understanding as we read your word, as we study your word today, Father, that you'll enlighten it to us, to each and every one of us in the way that we need to hear it and receive it right now. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Ephesians 1, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1, and from verse 3. And Paul here is writing to the Ephesians, and before that he addresses himself as the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus. You remember I spoke once on the saints. Who are the saints? You and I are the saints of God. You are Saint Ildefons, Saint Laszlo. You see, we are all saints in God. So he's writing to the saints in Ephesus, and faithful ones in Jesus. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, blessed or praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in heaven. In Christ, notice in Christ, he chose us before the world was made. He chose us in love to be his holy people. Tell your neighbor, you are a holy person. People who could stand before him without any fault. Isn't that amazing? People who could stand before him without any fault. And before the world was made, God decided to make us his own children. Wow. Before the world was made, God decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. This was what God wanted, and it pleased him to do it. It's what he wanted, and it pleased him to do it. And this brings praise to God. Because of his wonderful grace, God gave that grace to us freely. He gave us that grace in Christ, the one he loves. The scripture tells us that we have been given every spiritual blessing in heaven. Now, when we talk about heaven, we all have different pictures, don't we? Images of heaven. But we know that it's where God is. It's heaven is a place that one day you and I are going to end up there. That's if we know Jesus Christ. We're going to end up there. And this is a place where God dwells. He dwells in heaven. And all spiritual blessings, it says, come from heaven. In other words, it means that all the good stuff that God has for us comes to us. The good things that God gives us, the things that he has for us, is always there for us to receive and to benefit from. That's the great thing. That's what Paul says. You have been given. So it's not as if it's not been, it's already there, but it's for us to realize and understand it and say, thank you, Lord. I receive what you have for me into my life. How many know that I can have a gift with me, but that gift, and I can give it to somebody. And you have two choices. You can either receive that gift or you can refuse that gift. It nevertheless, it remains a gift. Right? If you receive that gift, you receive the blessing that comes with it. You receive whatever that gift is and you're able to use it and it becomes part of yours. Right? So that's why the scripture says every spiritual blessing is in heaven is given. It's given. What are the things that God has already given to us. He's given us the gift of salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, it's for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And he's given it to us so that we don't boast about it. Hey, you know, I'm a good guy. I've done it myself, like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And God says, no. You know, you have the gift of salvation that comes from me. It's because of what I have intended to do with you, because I made a decision even before the world began that I wanted you to be my children. And I want you to know that this gift is a gift of salvation that comes to you. Can you see that? What else has God given us? What are the good things that God has given us? We have the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, have you heard of that? The fruit of the Spirit? How many like to eat fruit? I like fruit. Most people like fruit, some may not. But there is something in the fruit that is delicious. Now, God has given us the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Galatians 5, and it says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love. He's given us love. He's given us joy. Say joy. You can smile, joy. Joy. Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, goodness. What else is there? Quiet mind, kind acts, well-doing, long-suffering, some Bibles tell us. All those are the fruit of the Spirit, and he gives us patience as well. That's all part of the good things that God gives us, not because we deserve it, but because he wants to give it to us. Isn't that good? It's not based on our merit or how many brownie points we make on God's table. It's not based on that, because if that happened, we would not get far, would we? But it is purely based on the fact that God loves us so much that he's willing, in spite of our quirkiness, in spite of the stuff that we get involved in and do and say and all the, you know, messy stuff that we get involved in, God is still able to bring to us what we need and what we require. Why? Because the Bible tells us the spiritual blessings have already been given. So once you give something, you can't take it back, unless you're a kind of person, you know. I don't know. Is there anyone who does that? They give a gift. Oh, no, sorry, you know. I want that gift back. They do that now in weddings, don't they? If people get divorced, somebody was saying that, they go and ask for the gift back. We gave this gift for you to be married and be together. Now that you're divorced, I'll have it back, please. Thank you very much. God ain't like that. He's not like that. Once it's given, it is given. Okay. What else are these good gifts that God gives us? The power to do God's will. The power to do God's will. Where do we see that? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 30 says, yes, it is God who is working in you. Tell your neighbor, God's working in you. He helps you want to do what pleases him. Who helps you? God helps you to do what pleases him. And he gives you the power to do it. Oh, wow, that's amazing. Because try doing something good in your own strength, you'll soon fail. But, you know, God gives us the power to do things that are good, that pleases him. He gives us that power. He gives us that hope. What else has God given us? The hope of living forever with Christ. John 3:16, I think everybody knows this scripture really well. It says this: for God so loved the world, that is us, that he gave his only Son. And he says there that whoever, that's anybody, whoever. Yeah. Doesn't matter where you come from, what walk of life you come from, what background, what cultural heritage you have, or ethnicity, it doesn't matter. That whoever believes in him, in whom? In Jesus Christ, shall have eternal life. Amazing promise, isn't it? No strings attached. All you do is just believe. That's it. And the Bible tells us he'll have eternal life. In John chapter 14, if you read the first few verses, Jesus there, he's telling his disciples, remember that he's going away soon, but he tells the disciples this. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back to receive you, that where I am, you may be also. So Jesus doesn't abandon his disciples before he leaves earth. He says, hey, hang on a moment. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm coming back for you, and I'll take you back to myself, that where I am, you also will be with me. These blessings can only be enjoyed through an intimate relationship with Jesus. See, there are blessings that my children, our children enjoy because they have a relationship with us. When you have a relationship with somebody, you enjoy the benefits of that. And in the same way, when you have a relationship with Jesus, you are the benefactor, or you benefit from that relationship. The blessings are yours. All these spiritual blessings, what do they refer to? They are those divine privileges. They are those divine resources that are available to us now. Not in the future, not years gone by, but they are available to us now. That is why we can operate today in the gifts of the Spirit, in the world, in all that I'll be covering in a little while, but we can walk this walk because God is with us and he empowers us. That's what it says in Philippians 2, correct? God gives you the power to do it. So you're able to do what God has called you to do. These are divinely given to us. Not that what's the word I'm looking for? We deserved it, but it was already given to us. Look at one. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 20 in the Old Testament, God says this to his people. He says, "If you obey me, all these blessings will come, and not only come and accompany you, but overtake you." Isn't that good? But the criteria for that is what? Obedience. Obedience. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now that talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit, simply put, are the gifts that the Spirit of God gives us as he wills. That's what it says. Not according to as we will, but as he wills, he gives it. We can desire them, but it's up to God to give it to us. So don't get discouraged when you see somebody else being used in the gift of healing and it's not operating in you. Don't get discouraged. Keep seeking it. Keep saying, thank you, Lord. I really want to operate in the gifts of healing. But Lord, I thank you for the man who's already doing it. Because he's blessing so many people. Or somebody is strengthened in another gift. Bless them for doing it because they're doing something amazing. God's people are being changed. But let's not get discouraged. Let's encourage. That's what we heard last Sunday. Encouraging one another. So let's look at some of these divine privileges and spiritual gifts that God has given us. The word of wisdom is one of those. Say the word of wisdom. Now, this is about, where the Bible talks about speaking truth. Speaking truth by the Holy Spirit. By skillfully conveying a message, it's something that we speak, the word of wisdom. And what does it do? It should help us to apply what someone is saying by the wisdom of God, apply it to our own lives. word of wisdom. So another, it says a word of knowledge. And that's the ability to understand truth and have a revelation of something that God is trying to reveal, the truth to us. And again, by hearing or having a word of knowledge, somebody gives you a word of knowledge, what does it do? It helps you to apply it to your everyday life. And so it's not something to get pumped up about. Say, oh, I have the gift of knowledge. I have the word of wisdom in me. So you listen to me. No, everything that God speaks has to align with his word. If somebody gives you a word of knowledge that sounds very fanciful, but it doesn't align to the word of God, throw it out. Don't get caught up in people who come with false stuff saying, oh, you know, I hear the Lord speaking. Because people misuse these gifts as well for their own advantage. Even be careful that these things have to align themselves exactly, because this is the written word, correct? This is God's word and stands forever. God does these things in at various times for our edification, for building us up. But it's not to make a platform of it, you know, and then negate what the word of God says. This word of God stands forever. And whatever God does, it's always said in his word. Then we have faith, the gift of faith. Now, we all have a measure of faith, but here Paul is talking about a faith that goes beyond that. It's a faith to do the supernatural. God gives us that as well. Isn't that amazing? It's a bit like this. You know, let's say you're stuck somewhere, or you know, you're in a place where there's no way of something happening, breaking open for something in your life. And you know, God does something supernaturally, that somehow something opens up. And you realize, wow, how did that ever happen? You know, or it comes through where you confront a situation and you speak to that situation because you do not know what else to do. And then God uses that measure of faith that you have, you know, to speak into that situation and the thing shifts. Then we have prophecy. Everyone understands prophecy. It's for edification, exhortation, and for comfort. That's what it's for. Then we have healings and miracles. These are all the divine gifts and privileges that God has given us. Isn't that amazing? That we are carriers of all these things. We may not realize it yet, but we are the carriers of all these gifts. Praise God. And all of these for us, for now, it is for now. It's for now. We can profit from it all. For it's for the profit of everyone. It's to bless everyone. We did this on Wednesday. Who was here on Wednesday? If you were on Wednesday, we activated the gift of prophecy. And prophecy has to do three things. Edification. How many were edified by the gift of prophecy? Okay, how many were exhorted by the gift of prophecy? How many comforted by the gift of prophecy? Absolutely, that's what it does. God speaks through us because we are his children. And he loves to speak through us. The question is, are we using these spiritual blessings that have been given? Are we using it, is the question. Because it's there, but are we tapping into it? Are we activating these gifts? Now, I do this from time to time. Why? Why do I encourage people to activate the gifts? Because, not because I just want to, you know, make them feel a bit, you know, it does make you feel uncomfortable, which is good. But I just want to stretch you a bit. Why? Because you bless somebody else. Because otherwise, what happens is we often just sit and we say, okay, Lord, speak to me. And then we say, no, I didn't hear anything. But I don't want you to keep sitting for too long, you know, and not hearing anything. I would rather you get a bit, activate you a bit, push you a bit, and say, okay, right, come on now. You are a man or woman of God. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. I know that God speaks to his people. So I'm going to just put you in a bit of an uncomfortable position so that you will then somehow say, Holy Spirit, you have to speak to me right now. You know, you have to give me a word right now. And you know what happens? When you put yourself in that uncomfortable zone and you say, Spirit of God, you have to speak to me, God does it. He gives you a word for someone. But until you get that push, you kind of sit back a bit and wait. So sometimes as leaders, we just have to nudge a bit, you know, gently push you into that and say, right, come on now. You can hear the Holy Spirit and you can do this. So the question is, are we using these gifts by faith or are we hiding away from it, having known that God has already given us, He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Amen? Verse 4 tells us of the same passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 that in Christ we were chosen. In Christ we were chosen when? At the beginning of time to be holy and without blame or without fault. You and I have been made righteous through Jesus Christ. His righteousness has enabled us, and this is what it means. It gives us the privilege or the ability to stand in God's presence, the righteousness of Jesus. Stand before the Father. And when you stand before the Father, let me explain this properly. See, you and I, when we are born with sin, the guilt of sin, the nature of sin in us. And God knows that. And that's why, in order for God to deal with that sin nature in us, He sent Jesus. And Jesus, He came, He lived on this earth, 33 years. At the age of 30, He was in ministry. He was ministering to people. He died a cruel, horrible death on the cross. Not a nice way to die. And He shed His blood. Why? Because He was that perfect sacrifice so that you and I could have that fellowship with the Father. You know, so that that sin nature and the power that that sin has over our lives can be broken. You know, have you noticed this, that when children are growing up, you don't have to tell them to do something wrong. Correct? They do wrong stuff. You got to always correct them and tell them to do what is right. Am I right, parents? Are you with me? That's because that nature is in us. What does sin actually mean? It's to miss the mark. It's to miss the mark of God's standard. God had a standard. Adam missed it. But all wasn't lost. God sent Jesus to restore us back to Himself. I hope that makes sense now. Because we can use these big words and it sometimes can go over our heads. So the righteousness of Jesus is what He paid for us when He died on the cross because He was sinless. And He shed His blood so that you and I can be without sin. And so when that happens in our lives, we are able to stand before God who is holy, blameless. Wow. No blame. No sin. Wow. Imagine that. What a privilege that we can stand before the Father without the sense of guilt, without the sense of inferiority, without the sense of self-consciousness, just as if we never sinned. That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Just as if you never sinned. I mean, it's mind-blowing even to think about it. Can you imagine that? Just as if you never sinned. When God touches your life, when Jesus impacts your life with His power, with His resurrection power in your life, you are able to approach God who is holy as if you never ever sinned in your life. That's how amazing and how awesome the power and the blood of Jesus is to us when we apply it into our lives. His desire God's desire is that we would always walk blameless before Him. Why? Because He chose us. We didn't choose Him, He chose us. And so that is His desire, that we would walk in love, that we would walk blameless before Him. But does it happen? No. Why? Because we are in a fallen world. We don't see it. Is it God's fault? No. I know many people blame God for all the problems that they have, for all the problems that they are in, for the situation in the world that we are living in. But God did not make robots. What's a robot? It's something, it's a mechanical gadget or instrument or something that man makes, which can be controlled, correct? A robot can be controlled. God did not make us as robots. God doesn't just control us, you know, and do stuff with us. No, He gave us a free will. He gave us a choice. And it is because of our choices that we face our circumstances. If our choices are good, then what comes out of that will be good. If the choices we make are not good or bad, then what comes out of it would be bad. So it's not God's fault that we get into trouble because we chose to get into trouble. Well, you know what God does? He restores us. He redeems us from that situation. We have a free will to choose. We can choose to accept Jesus. We can choose to deny Jesus. Even when Jesus was walking on this earth, not everybody turned to Jesus. Am I right? Jesus didn't go around saying, right, you know, every person I meet here, you know, by some, you know, powerful way, everybody knows Jesus. No, it didn't happen. They all had a choice. They had to come to Jesus. You and I have a choice of coming to Jesus or not. Salvation is a gift, and it is based on His willingness to give it to us, not because we deserve it, but because God is gracious, and He gives it freely anyway. He gives it freely. We did not influence God's decision to save us. It was His plan from the beginning of time to save us from sin, from the power of Satan, from the power of evil and stuff that goes on. God already planned salvation for us. I know it's hard to understand how God could accept us. But because of Jesus Christ, you and I, who were once far off, who were once lost in our sin, lost in our own ways of living, lost in all the messiness of life, through Christ, by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The scripture tells us in Colossians 1, that we are translated from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There's a transference that happens. We are transferred from the domain of darkness, where everything is messed up. Many people today are messed up in life. Talk to some, they're messed up because society has messed the minds of even our young people today. They're messed up, you know, to the point that people even don't know who they are anymore. I'm reading recently, you know, that this whole thing about gender, and people don't know, are you male, are you female, are you, you know, I mean, it's messed up. And kids today do not know whether they are male, whether they are female, whether they are somewhere in between. And so when you mess up with God's order, you get messed up. God created male and female, and He blessed them. He said, be fruitful and multiply. But sadly, in today's society, that's eroding. But you and I, we need to stand up for what is true. It's not that we don't like such people, but we need to understand and know that Just because things are messed up, we don't just say, okay, you're messed up now, so, you know, that's okay. Just carry on and say, no, God still loves you in your mess. And God can heal you and bring you out of your mess. Because we have a gospel that is a gospel of hope. Not of condemnation, but of hope. We don't condemn people. Why? Because we know that somehow the enemy has trapped them. So we break the spirit of them that is trapping them. Because that's how it happens. Somehow something switches off. And, you know, and the enemy is very clever of getting into our mind. And so we don't despise the person. We love the person. And yet we say, you know, this is what God's word says. And you can get back on. You can come out of your mess and you can come to Jesus who can set things right. And you won't be confused anymore. God already made a plan for us. Jesus is the one who took the blame. Jesus is the one who took our shame. Jesus is the one who took our sin on that cross. And when Jesus looks at us, he looks at us as if we had never sinned. Wow. Wow. He looks at us as if we had never sinned. Verse 5 tells us that we have been marked out beforehand. God decided to make us his own. It was not our choice, it was his. And it says there that in verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. What does adoption mean? We become his children. If I adopt a child into our family, that child is mine. Correct? They take on the name, all the rights, the privileges, the inheritance, everything belongs to them. As much as they will belong to my biological children. There is no difference between my biological child and the adopted child. They are the same. Can you see that? So what has happened here with us when we come to Jesus? We are adopted into God's family. In other words, we become the child of God that God wants us to be. And by becoming the child of God, everything that God has for us becomes ours. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Everything, all the privileges, the rights, the privileges, the inheritance that God has for us. You know, when you talk about inheritance, we talk about death, don't we? You receive an inheritance after somebody has died. Correct? Who died for us? Jesus died for us. And as a result of his death, you and I have an inheritance that does not fade away, but it goes on forever and forever and forever. For eternally, God's favor, God's love, God's promises, God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's holiness is in us that we can operate as mortals, as humans on this earth, knowing that God is the one who takes charge of our lives, the one who has compassion over us, the one who comes upon us with love. And he says, my child, my son, my daughter, I have given you everything of myself. I have bestowed upon you every blessing, everything that I have in heaven is yours now. I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing that is mine, but it's yours because of the adoptive nature that I have had. I have brought you to myself. I have made you my son, my daughter. And not only have I done that, by doing that, I have accepted you into the very family of God. You're not an alien anymore. You're not a stranger anymore, but you are part of my family. You know, that is what God has done through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Powerful stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yet so simple. Why do I say that? It's because accepting Jesus is the easiest thing that anyone can do. It's the easiest thing that anyone can do. God has accepted you. Here's my question. Have you accepted him? God has accepted you. Have you accepted him? It'd be a bit like this. I may want to adopt a child into my family, but does the child want to be part of my family? Same way, God has already chosen you and he's given everything. He's accepted you just as you are. But are you willing to accept Jesus? Let's all stand together. I hope this message has made some sense today. If you haven't accepted Jesus, this person who has blessed us and made us accepted in him, today you can do that. You can go back different, changed, with a new perspective in life. That's how amazing the love of Jesus is. I remember the day I gave my heart to Jesus. I must have been 12, I think, or 13 years of age. I remember walking up to the front after a message and giving my heart to Jesus. Now, was my life perfect? No. But I knew who my Lord was. I knew who my Savior was. I decided that I couldn't do it my way. I said, God, I don't know how it's going to pan out, but you know. And I'd rather put my life in your hands than in anyone else's hands. And so at that young age, I gave my heart to Jesus. It's been a journey. It's not been easy. Life's thrown its challenges. But I can see the hand of God now, standing here now, and looking back, I can see how God brought me to different seasons. Some good, some not so good. Some easy, some very hard and challenging. It's a bit like a father raising up a child. A father raising up a child or children. You wouldn't just leave them there to just crawl or you know, just lie on the ground all the days of their life. No. What would a father do? They'll gently nudge them, pick them up, but say, come on, come on, come on now, you can walk. Come on now, you can stand. Come on now, you can do this. Then when they, you know, get a bit older, go to school, come on now, you can study. Come on now, you can learn this subject. Then they get introduced to different other activities and we say, come on now, you can do this. And what do? We encourage them, don't we? We say, come on, give it a go. Come on now, you can do this. You know what our Heavenly Father does? That's what he does. He says, come on now, you can do this. Come on now, you can do this. You know, the Holy Spirit, that's what he does. I can't change anyone, but only he can. God does not condemn, but he convicts us of our sin and stuff that we've done. And he only does that so that we can come to him and say, Jesus, forgive me. And so this morning, whoever you are, wherever you are, you can come to this Jesus and say, God, I don't understand anything or nothing. I don't understand anything about you. But I've heard this man say something about you today. And Jesus, I just want to give it a go. I just want to try you out and see if this stuff is really true. Because there's no, all our preaching would be in vain if there isn't an impartation or a change that happens in our lives. But you know, God is an amazing God. He lives today. He's alive. And he wants to speak to us. He wants to have our lives from the messed up situation, bring it into a place where there is some order, God's order in our lives. And so my prayer for you today is that if you want Jesus into your, come into your heart and into your life, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I need you. You are my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge you today in my life. Come into my life. Change me with your precious blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for me. You died to set me free. And Lord Jesus, with my limited knowledge, I receive you. I accept you into my life. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, that's all it takes. And Jesus can change our hearts and our lives. And we find that our walk with him is an amazing walk. It has its challenges. But God is the one who gives us the power to face every challenge. And he says, come on now. You can make it. Come on now. You can do it. So, Father, I thank you this morning. Lord, your word says, whoever calls upon your name shall be saved. Oh, God, I thank you this morning that your word has gone forth. And your word says your word will not return void, it will not return empty, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it has been sent. So, Lord, I thank you that your word has gone forth. And I thank you, Lord, that you're a God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And not only that, Lord, you have accepted us, adopted us into your family. We are accepted in the beloved, and we are accepted in Jesus Christ. He is the beloved. He is the beloved. We are accepted in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you have accepted us just as we are. So, Father, I bless you. I praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father.